Okay, good morning. Today's daf is sponsored by Michael Tonyansky for Refuah Shleimah for his brother-in-law,
Aryeh
Leib Shaya, Ben Esther Leah. Our Limud HaTorah this morning should be a schus for Refuah Shleimah for him. Okay, we're picking up at the bottom of Samach Aleph Amud Beis. Today's daf is Samach Beis. So we say as follows. Amar Rav Nachman, the last three lines on the last three words on the Samach Aleph on Beis. Rav Nachman says, top of Samach Beis, Amar Aleph, Haya Baki Bahen Bishmoiseihem. So if someone was a Baki in them and their names, what's this a reference to? So we said that the Peres and the Uznia were the two out of the 24 birds that had a single sign of Kashrus, a Simon Kashrus. So we're saying that if someone actually knows what a Peres and an Uznia is, and not only, as it says, in them and their names. And the reason is because what we have to be concerned, Rashi says, Avon Shmo Peres Chashin and Shemen Minohu. So we didn't get into this yesterday, but each of the 24 is not just the actual, it's kind of like the Lamatas Malachas. So you have an Av and a Toldo, you have categories. So the 24 are categories. So the concern is, if they call it a Peres, I'm sorry, that if you know all the birds that are a Peres or Uznia or are called that, because if they're called that, you have to be concerned that maybe this is in that species of a Peres or Uznia. So therefore, if someone is an expert in knowing what does a Peres and an Uznia look like, and what are the birds that are called that, provided he knows all of that, then Of Haba B'Simen Echad Tahar. That if a bird comes in front of him, which has a single simen of Tahara, so then it's kosher. Why? Because the only kind of bird that has a single sign of Tahara is a Peres Uznia, and those are non-kosher. And he knows this is not a Peres or Uznia or anything called a Peres or Uznia. So then he can rely on himself that it's kosher. Lo haya baki behenu b'shmoiseihem b'simen echad tameh. But if he would not be a baki in them and their names, then if you find one with a single simen, then you would have to say that it's non-kosher. And we're going to see in the Gemara that it was very uncommon that they had a Peres or Uznia, but yet you have to be concerned because in other words, if it has one simen of Tahara, you have to make sure it's not a Peres or Uznia. Now, so if he was not a baki in them and their names, but and therefore he could not rely on one simen because it might be a Peres or Uznia, but continues Rav Nachman, b'shnei simanim tahar, but if it has two simanei tahara, so then it doesn't matter that he's not a baki in a Peres or Uznia because the inquiry has now shifted from a Peres or Uznia to an Orev, because an Orev was the one bird that we said had two simanei tahara. So continues Rav Nachman, v'hu sheyakir Orev. So that is, that presumes that he recognizes what an Orev looks like. So as long as, and as once you get to a category where you're dealing with two simanei tahara, so then what you have to make sure is that it's not an Orev. Once you make sure it's not an Orev, you know that it's a kosher bird because an Orev is the only of the 24 birds that has the two simanim of kashrus. Now, so ask the Gemara. Orev vesulo. So in other words, is that true that when you have a bird with only two simanim of tahara, that you need to only know what an Orev looks like and you don't need to know any other bird? But is that true? Vahatanya, we learned in a brisa. Orev ze orev. So when the pasuk says orev, it means an orev itself. And if you remember, I said yesterday there's actually only 20 birds mentioned by the Torah, and then there's four that have some variation of mino, lemineu, something like that. The orev is one of those. So says the brisa. When it says orev, it means an orev. When it says lemino, that comes to include something else. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Lahavi, and basically we're going to bring other things that are included in the min of an Orev. And so the Gemara's question is basically, you see that there are other things that are in a species or in the category of an Orev that they're limino. So then the question would be, don't you have to know those birds also? Because otherwise, if you have a bird with two simanei tahara and you know what an Orev looks like and it's not an Orev, but maybe it's something that's related to an Orev. That's the Gemara's question, but we're going to get into a brisa That's going to occupy us for a minute or a couple minutes. So we say, what is included by limino? Rabbi Elazar says, lahavi is hazarzir. It comes to include this bird called a zarzir. So the Gemara asks, amru lo l'Rabbi Eliezer. So the Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer, v'haloi anshe kvar tamritza shebi Yehuda haya ochlin oso mipnei sheyesh lahen zefek. So the Gemara, they asked Rabbi Eliezer, they said, in this place, kvar tamritza, which is in Yehuda, that they would eat the zarzir. Why would they eat the zarzir? Because the zarzir had a zefek. A zefek is a crop. And we discussed, and basically what they're saying is that the orev is missing a crop. So what happened? Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer was coming to include the zarzir as being in the category of an orev, and they were saying, wait a second, people used to actually eat the zarzir. Why did they eat the zarzir? Because it had a zefek, and an orev doesn't have a zefek. So why are you saying it's included in the category of an orev? It's not, because it's different than an orev, because it does not have it has a different siman tara than the orev itself has. So Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Eliezer was unimpressed with this proof. He said, Afhein asidin litenes adin. They're also going to have to answer for the fact that they ate this zarzir. They're not supposed to. In order, so don't ask me from a miso of people who are doing something wrong. So what was the machlokas that was going on there? The machlokas that was going on is that Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachamim held that if you have something that is has different simane tara, in other words, if you're dealing with something with two simane tara, you have to be worried that as an orev. Now you might worry that it should also be included in a min orev. The Chachamim held you can't include in a min orev something that has different two simane tara than an orev. So since an orev is missing a zefek, and this zarzir had a zefek, it can't be that this is what's included when it says let me know. Now mind you, as the whole basis of the Gemara's question is whether it's Rabbi Eliezer or whether it's the Chachamim agree that there are things included in let me know that are considered like an orev, which is why the Gemara's question is a question that shouldn't you have to know other birds, but they just disagree with Rabbi Eliezer that this is one of them. Continues, Davar Acher. So actually Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to see Rabbi Eliezer is also going to be quoted as including a different bird, and we're going to say that Rabbi Eliezer held that Limino includes anything like it, so it could include multiple birds. So here's another one. Liminehu, Lahavi Snunis Levana is coming to include this white Snunis. Rabbi Eliezer. This is the words of Rabbi Eliezer. So, Amrullo, the Chacham said to him, V'halo anche galil ha'elyon ochen oso mipnei shekor kavano niklaf. So that the anche galil, the galil ha'elyon, the upper galil, they would eat this. Why would they eat it? Because its crop could be peeled. Now, on the face, this would seem to say that its korkovan cannot be peeled. Okay, but we're going to get back to that in a second because that would actually be problematic. But in any event, they said to Rabbi Eliezer that the Anshe Galil Elyon used to eat this thing because it ostensibly, because it's different than an orev, so Amar Lahan, which would be the model of the first one. So Amar Lahan, he said to them, Afhein asidim litenes adin. Again, don't bring me examples from people who are doing the wrong thing. They're not supposed to be doing it. This is in fact included in Liminehu. And therefore, we have it. And therefore, they shouldn't be eating it. Now, look at the structure. The first structure was, they ate a zarzir because it has a zefek, implying that an orev doesn't have a zefek. Right? Then the next one is saying they ate the snunis levana, they ate it because it had a peelable korkovan, implying that orev doesn't have a peelable korkovan. But here's the problem. Because if you remember our Mishnah, we didn't get into this so much yesterday, but the Mishnah I alluded to it, but the Mishnah stated one absolute rule. Said if an animal is a dores, then it's a non-kosher animal, right? So here's the problem though. If we're implying from the Gemara the way we're thinking, so we're dealing with an animal that is a dores, right? and it does not have a peelable korkoban, and it does not have a zefek. So what are you left with? It only has one siman of tahara, which would be the extra toe, right? The etzbe yisera. But we know that an orev has two. So the question is, basically this brisa seems to imply that an orev has only one siman of tahara. So the way the Rishonim explained, is that basically when it says mipnesha korkavano niklof, it's not that it's saying that it's different than an orev, and an orev its korkavan cannot be peeled, because that would be a problem. Then you end up with only one siman of tahara. But rather, when it says mipnesha korkavano niklof, it's unlike the zefek. The zefek, in fact, an orev does not have, and this the zarzir had. In this case, the snunis levana, when it says mipnesha korkavano niklof, it's saying it's just like an orev. An orev has an added toe, and it has a korkavan that can be peeled. So those are two simanei tahara. So what was the point? That the Anshe Galil HaElyon, they said, since it's like an orev, right? So the only basis, meaning it has the same simanim as an orev. So the only basis I would have to say that it's non-kosher is to say that it's an orev, but it can't be an orev. Why? Because it's a snunis levana, it's white, versus an orev is black. And so therefore what they were saying is, if I'm going to say it's non-kosher, it's because it's an orev, because it has the same simanei tahara as an orev, but an orev is black, and this thing is white, so it's not that. To which to which Rabbi Eliezer is responding, and he's saying it doesn't matter because color is not important. If it has the same simanei tahara as an orev, it could be in the category of an orev, and therefore you're not allowed to eat it. But in any event, that's the brisa. So you see from this brisa that there are at least, Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that there are two birds that are included in Limino. The Chachamim presumably had one or more different ones that are included in Limino. So the question we're going back to is, we said that if you have a bird in front of you that is two simanei tahara, as long as you know what an orev looks like, and it's not an orev, you could say it's kosher. But hold on a second, you need to check whether it's a snunis levana, or you need to check whether you need to know what a snunis levana looks like, you need to know what a zarzir looks like, or whatever it is that Chacham hold, you need to know what it looks like. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, you're right. Continues the Gemara, Ela orev achol min orev. So when it said, if you have a bird that has two simanei tahara, you can say it's kosher as long as you know what an orev looks like and this is not an orev. So as long as you know what an orev looks like and whatever it is that is a min orev, you also have to know what that looks like. Okay. Amar Amemar. Amemar says, Hilchisa of haba b'simen echad tahar. The halacha is that if you have a oaf that comes with a single simen of tahara, with a single simen, that it's tahar. Vuhu dulo daris. As long as it doesn't, claw, or whatever the different definitions we gave yesterday of a daris. So now, the difference between, what's important here is that you see, Ramemar is paskening the halacha that if you have an oaf that comes with one simen, it's tahar, whether you know or don't know what a peres and an osnia looks like. So basically, what we're going to say is, let's actually take a look at Rashi, because this is a little more complicated than it looks. So Rashi, oaf haba b'simen echad tahar, v'afilu ein baki behenem mishmo sehem. So he's saying that if you have an oaf with one simen tahara, you can eat it even if you're not a bucky in what a peres and osnia will look like. Because you don't have to be worried that maybe this is a peres and osnia, because as we're going to explain later, so in other words, Amemar is paskening, well, in theory it's true that if you have a bird with one simen of tahara, you should know what a peres and osnia look like, because you have to make sure it's not a peres and osnia, but Amemar says we're not worried. Why? Because peres and osnia really aren't found in places where people are settled, so you don't have to worry that when you find a bird, it might be a peres or osnia. But continues the Amemar's psak, v'hani mili d'lo daris, ki mishkachinon bei simen echad, machzakinon le betahar kol kamad lo chazinon le d'daris. Okay, so on its face, it's saying as long as it's not a daris. Why? Because as we said yesterday, the Mishnah states an absolute thing, that if it is a daris, it's non-kosher, right? So we're saying as long as you see an oaf with one simen of tahara, that you can assume that it is that you don't have to assume that it's a you don't have to assume that it's a Peres or Aznia because those aren't common. But all of this applies only as long as you don't see it being a Dores, because as soon as you see it being a Dores, so then it's unkosher for a different reason. So, and continues Rashi, and this, we'll see in a second, Venira Li, and in the appears to me, Rashi says, Shekol of hanosin raglo ala ocho kishu ocho umachziko berego shlo yonud vlo yinotel kulo, I'm sorry. So he says that if you have any bird that puts its foot on the food when it's eating it, and he holds it with his foot so that it shouldn't shift, vlo yinotel kulo, he doesn't take the entire thing. Basically, he's holding the food in its place, and he's taking his beak and eating from the food that's being held. This is Rashi's definition of Dores. The lo yinato kulo etzol piv, hu drisa. That's drisa. And here's important words. V'chein derecha orvim shegadlim bebatim shekorin kua. That this is the way of the orvim, the orev plural, that grow in houses. Okay, so what's going on here? So basically what we have is as follows. Amemer is saying that if you have a bird that is has one siman of Tara, you don't need to know what a Peres or Aznia looks like, because it's very unlikely that you got a Peres or Aznia. But if it is something that that is Dores, right? So then you're gonna have to say that is non-kosher. So one second. So if it's Dores and it's a non-kosher, so then it only has one siman of Tahara, right? And so we're back to saying, well, then what is it? If you're telling me a Peres or Aznia is not around, so then this is you're telling me it's non-kosher, but the only non-kosher bird with one siman of Tahara is a Peres or Aznia, and you tell me they're not around. So the answer is that, I guess, if you know for sure it's a Dores, you're stuck saying there must have been a Peres or Aznia that made its way here. But here's the important question, that if we're saying that it's a non-Dores, because if it was a Dores, we'd say it's non-kosher. So if it's a non-Dores, and it also has a simon of Tahara, then that itself is two simone Tahara, right? So this is a problem, because then you're stuck with two simone Tahara. So the Gemara is saying, so two things. So first of all, Rashi, that's why Rashi's saying we're machzik it that it's tahar. So we're saying basically, we don't know what it is. We don't know that it's a Dores, and it has one siman of tahara, so which would lead you to think it's a Peres or Aznia, but we say we don't have those, so therefore we can rely it's not. Now what if, since you're saying we don't know that it's a Dores, maybe it's not a Dores. If it's not a Dores, then you're left, if it's actually not a Dores, it might be an Orev. You're left with two things, a Dores and whichever the siman of tahara you're seeing. So to that, that's what Rashi's coming to address when Rashi says that an orev is a dores, because he's saying as follows, that if you're right that it's a non-dores, right? So he says if it's a dores, and then it has different simone, tahara than an orev, so it doesn't work. So basically what we're saying is the following, is that we're assuming that it's not a dores, but we don't know for certain. If we know for certain it's not a dores, then what are you concerned that you have two simanei tahara, that A, it's not a dores, and B, that it has some other siman tahara? But if you're saying it has two simanei tahara, what do you have to be concerned about? You have to be concerned that it's an orev. But says Rashi, you don't have to be concerned that it's an orev, because an orev is a dores, right? So we're back to saying it's not problematic. And that's why Rashi takes the time to explain to us that this is talking about an orev is dores. So therefore, even if you're right that it has two simanei tahara, that is not a dores, and it has the other siman tahara, it's still going to be kosher because it's not an orev. Now, mind you, it's only not an orev according to the Rabbanan. Because the Rabbanan were the ones, Rabbi Eliezer was the one who said that even if the simanim don't match the orev, if it has two simanei tahara, then it could be non-kosher like an orev. The Chachamim were the ones who said, no, it has to be the same. That's why they didn't count a zarzir in there. So basically what we're coming out is that it's not, we're going to say, we assume it's not a Doreis, and it has one siman of Tara, so the only thing you need to be worried about is a Peres or Osnia, and we say those aren't common. Now, even if it would turn out that it's not a Doreis, and it has one other siman Tara, which means you need to be concerned that it's a, that it's a Orev, but you don't have to be concerned that it's an Orev, because an Orev is for sure Doreis, and the second siman of Tara that you're worried about is that it's not a Doreis. So therefore, that's the psak of Amemar. Okay, says the Gemara. Amrle Ravashi la Amemar, Hadar Rav Nachman Mai. So basically, Amemar said, you don't have to be an expert in what is a Peres or Osnia. If you have a bird with one siman of Tara, you don't need to know whether it's a Peres or Osnia. Why? So the question is, why aren't you worried about Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman said it's only Tahar if you know what a Peres or Osnia looks like. So to that, Amrle lo Shmieli, I don't hold of what Rav Nachman said, they have to be an expert in a Peres or Osnia. Why? Kolomer lo Svirli, I don't agree with Rav Nachman. My Ika, what are you worried about? Mishum Peres or Osnia? That you're worried that maybe, you should have to know what a Peres or Osnia look like, because this might be a Peres or Osnia. Lesnayu b'yishuv. They're not found in places where people are settled, and therefore we don't have to worry that this bird is a Peres or Osnia. Okay. Rav Yehuda says, Of hamisaret kasher letaris mitzora. So basically, the process by a mitzora after he becomes tahar is that he needs to bring two kasher animals. The Torah says tahoros. Right? That he needs to bring two kosher birds. And so what we're saying is as follows. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that this oaf hamasari, this oaf that scratches or claws at something, is kosher for taharas mitzorah. Vizuhi snunis levana shenechleku bar Rabbi Elazar v'chachamim. And this is the snunis levana, which we just talked about, that Rabbi Elazar and the chachamim argue about whether it's kosher or not. So the Rabbi Elazar held that it's not kosher because it is in the category of an orev. And, the Chachamim held it is kosher because they said it does not have the same simanim as an orev. So basically what's happening here by Rabbi Yehuda saying that a snunis levana is kosher for the procedure of a metzora who's becoming tahar is another way of saying that it's a tahar bird, right? So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is paskening like the Chachamim. Right? Because the Chachamim were the one who said a snunis levana is kosher. Amar Amemar clarified this halacha of Yehuda, bechivra karse kuliyam lo pligi. If it has a white, stomach, no one argues the shari that it's for sure mutter. Ki pligi b'diroka karse, when it has a yellow, stomach. Rabbi Elazar asr rabbanon shari, Rabbi Elazar holds, it's asr and rabbanon holds his mutter, he's saying they're arguing about a yellow-bellied, snunis, vehochas like Rabbi Elazar, nalach like Rabbi Elazar. So basically, by passing like Rabbi Elazar, you're saying that a snunis levana, which we're saying is a yellow stomached bird, is if it's a halacha like Rabbi Elazar, then it's aser. So basically, Amemar is coming and saying that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, or that this is arguing on Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda said that this snunis levana is kasher for mitzora, which makes it a kasher bird. And Amemar is paskening like Rabbi Elazar, which makes it a non-kosher bird. So that's one version. Marzutra masnihachi. Marzutra learned a different version of what the machlokas. He says, "Bidiroka karse kuliyam lo pligi de aser." Where it has a yellow stomach, everyone agrees that it's aser. Ki pligi, when do they argue? But the chivra karse, where it has a white stomach. Rabbi Elazar aser, Rabbanan shari, that Rabbi Elazar, so we're saying, a snunis levana, Rabbi Elazar aser, and Rabbanan admitted, permitted, that's talking about a white stomached snunis, the hochazak rabbanan, halachazak rabbanan. So according to that version, we're paskening that Rabbi Yehuda is also saying the halachazak rabbanan, because that's why Rabbi Yehuda is proving that it's a kosher bird that you can use in the mitzora proceedings. The hochazak rabbanan the sharo, and it's like the rabbanan that it's mutter. Okay, so this snunis levana that we learned about, the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the chachamim, according to the first version, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar, which is saying, and therefore by extension, it's not the animal that, according to him, he held, it's not the animal they used by Mitzorah. According to the second version, he's paskining just like the Rabbanan, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda's halacha applies, or he would agree with Rabbi Yehuda's halacha that this could be used, for the bird, for the Mitzorah. Now, ask the Gemara, Bishlam al-Mandam Rabbechivri Karse, Pligi, Hainu Dekatani Zuhi, Snun and Slavana. So if you're telling me that we're arguing about a white-stomached bird, so then it makes sense that you're calling it a snunis levana, because it's white. He says, but when you're telling me that they're arguing about a yellow-stomached bird, my zui snunis lavana. Well, how do you say that that's a snunis lavana? It says white. So the Gemara says, lafuki de bati de uchmati. So he says, relative to this kind of bird that's in houses, which is black, so relative to a black bird, a yellow-stomached bird, is a snunis lavana. So it's just talking about the language. In other words, if you're saying we're arguing about a yellow-stomached bird, why are you calling it a white bird? He's saying a yellow-stomached bird relative to a black bird is considered like a white bird. Okay. Amar Rechava, Amar Rav Yehuda, Tasil Pasul Mishum Torin Mekasher Mishum Bnei Yona. Okay, so we talked about this before on Daf Chaf Beis, where a tar, we say that we talked about it. If you remember, the Gemara was discussing that you have a tar and a ben yona. It always says ben by yona. It doesn't say it by a tar. So we learned that a tar needs to be an older bird, and a ben yona needs to be a younger bird, right? So the halacha, what he's saying here is Rav Yehuda is saying that a tasil is this kind of bird is pashul mishum torin, meaning you cannot bring it. In other words, it's not a tar. It's a benyona. Benyona is a pigeon. So therefore, you have to bring it when it's young, right? Because it's in the category of a pigeon, not in the category of a tar. The atzifi v'torin shalrechava ksherin mishum torin upsulin mishum benyona. Conversely, you have these birds in atzifi or torin shalrechava. You have a tar of the street or of the square. That these are kosher as torin, they're in the category of torin, and they're pasul mishum b'nei yona. You can't bring them when they're young because they're a tar. So basically, we're saying a pasul needs to be brought when it's young, and in a tzifi and a torin shalrechava need to be brought when it's old. Why? Because a pasul is in the category of a pigeon. Masiv Rev Daniel Bar Rav Ketina. Daniel Bar Rav Ketina asked from the following: Kola ofos. This is. Okay, so he says, Kola ofos, poslin mechatas, chutz min ayona, min pnei shemotzetzas. Okay, so what are we talking about here? So mechatas is obviously, as we've discussed many, many times, is the water that has the paraduma ashes in it that you would sprinkle on someone to be matire him from tumas meis. So he's saying as follows, that if you have mechatas, now there's a different discussion in Rishonim about exactly what the problem here is, but one of the problems with mechatas is it can't have been used for some kind of malacha. So the way Rashi learns is that if a bird were to drink from the mechatas, right, and benefit from that water, and then that some of that water would go back into the water, it would be a problem because you can no longer use it as mechatas because that was malacha was done with it. Tosfos asks, what kind of malacha is it? Just because someone drank from it, but then there's other versions. But let's just stick with Rashi. So he's saying that if you have, he says as follows, that if a bird, if a bird were to drink from mechatas, it would become pasul, except for a yona, because a yona is unlike. So, what's the problem with a regular bird? Is a bird goes and sticks its the lower part of its mouth into the water and pulls out, and some of the water drips back in, and so now you have water mixed in the mechatas that was used for malacha. But and by the way, this is actually nageya to halachic question. Netilas yadayim also can't have been worked with. So people talk about, like, if you had a tarnagel or something drank from water, could you use it for netilas yadayim? Very practical every day. I'm sure you have this question. Okay, but in any event, the idea is the mechatas becomes pasul from any bird other than a bnei yona. Why? Because a ben yona is motzetzes. Motzetzes is like it sucks it up. It basically has a method of drinking that sucks it with force. It doesn't just fill its beak with water, it sucks it, and therefore none of it goes back in. So by a ben yona, that water is still valid to use for mechatas. Now the Gemara says, now, so you're telling me except for a ben yona, vim isa, and if you're telling me that you have this pasil is also like a ben yona, so then lisni chutz mi yona v'tasil. I'm sorry, tasil, not pasil. He says, if a tasil, you just said it's like a pigeon in as much as you need to bring it when it's young. But if you're saying I have a bird that's just like a pigeon, then when the Mishnah tells you mechatas is pasul if it gets drunk by any bird other than one that's motzetzes, then obviously if this thing is going to be like a pigeon, it's also going to be motzetzes. And therefore, it should have said that any bird who drinks from it, it's pasul, except for a yona or a tasil. But it didn't say that. So it must be that a tasil is not like a pigeon. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira, Zem motzei to meki, v'zem motzei zeinu meki. He says, no, you're right, that a tassil is like a ben yona, and in fact, just like a ben yona, it sucks, but it's not as good of a sucker as a ben yona. So ben yona sucks up the water and doesn't drop any, but this bird drops some back. So therefore, even though it drinks differently than a regular bird, it still has the same problem that some of the water are going to go back into the mechatas and therefore make it possible. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Hani kufshini tzutzaina kesherim. So this is, kufshini is a word for a tar. So these tar of tzutzaina are kasher legabim mizbeach, shem legabim mizbeach. So it's saying, we know that the on the mizbeach you bring a tar and a ben yona. So he's saying these kind of torim that are tzutzaini are kasher legabim mizbeach. The hein hein torin shorachava, this is the same as the torin shorachava, which on Amud Aleph we learned that atzifi and torin shorachava are kasher. So basically, it's telling you that these torim of tzutzaini are considered valid torim and they're kasher for the mizbeach. So Meisve, I'll ask you a question. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Ezov, so this is, I think a Mishnah in Negayim. It says Ezov, that when the Torah references Ezov, which is in a number of contexts, we have it in, by the Mitzoro, you have it by Mechatas, you have it by the Sreifas Paraduma, you have plenty of times where it says Ezov. So it says, the Mishnah tells you that when it says you need Ezov, it's Ezov lo, Ezov Yon, or some learn Ezov Yavon, that it's a, Ezov Yon is some kind of Ezov that grows, amongst the thorns, velo Ezov Kochli, or a blue Ezov, lo Ezov Romi, not Roman Ezov, velo Midbari, not, desert Ezov, velo kol Ezov sheyosh l'shem levai. And not any Ezov that has an accompanying name. So in other words, so what's it telling you? It's telling you that when the Torah says something plain, like Ezov, so it does not include Ezov Romi, Ezov Midbar, because if the Torah, you know, the Torah was specific and saying plain Ezov, right? So the question that we're asking is as follows, that if you have these Torim that are called Torim Tzutzaini, so then when the Torah tells you you can bring a tar to the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon, a tar Tzutzaini should be excluded because that's a Shem Levi. Just like a specific type of Ezov, the Torah says Ezov means plain, so when it says tar, it means plain. It doesn't mean a tar tzutzaini. Rabbiya, not exactly, because kol sheneshana shmo kodomat torah v'kpida torah lov, yesh lo shem levai pasul. He says, Ezov had other names, like even before Matan Torah. There was such a thing as an Ezov, it doesn't mean all of them, because I don't know if Rome was around then or whatever, but in other words, Ezov Midbar, for example, there existed specific names of Ezov at the time the Torah was given. So let's say Ezov Midbar, right? So the fact that the Torah chose to say Ezov Plain, when it could have included Ezov Midbar, is to tell you that it only wants Ezov Plain. Vahani lo nishtana shman kodem matan Torah. But when we're talking about the Torah, Tzutzaini, that was just the name of a place. So therefore, there was no such thing as a Torah something at the time Matan Torah. So therefore, the fact that the Torah said Torah Plain can't be coming to tell you not a Tor Tzutzaini, because a Tor Tzutzaini didn't exist. Versus there were other types of Ezov and the Torah chose to say Ezov Plain, that tells you only an Ezov Plain. Okay. Rava says, Hani Kufshini Tzutzaini Basrayu Stama Karilu. Rava had a different answer. He says that why aren't you worried that these Kufshini Tzutzaini are a Shem Levi, it's an accompanying name. So just like Ezov Midbar, Ezov Romi is not good, so to a Kufshini Tzutzaini should be no good. He says the reason that's okay is because let's say an Ezov Romi, even in Rome it's called Ezov Romi, versus Tzutzaini, he says in Tzutzain, or whatever the singular thing of Tzutzaini is, that they used to just call it, they would just call it Kufshini, they would just call it a Tor. So if something is always referred to as a Tor Romi, even in Rome, so then it has a Shem Levi and it's no good because the Torah wants only Ezov. But if it's something that in its own place is called regular Tor, it's not called a Tor Tzutzaini, shows you that people refer to it as a Tor Tzutzaini because it comes from there. But in Tzutzaini or whatever it's called in itself, they don't call it that, so then it's not a full Shem Levi. It's not a real accompanying name. It's a name of convenience, or it's a name attached to a location. But Rava is saying that's not a Shem Levi. So the difference is the first one's going to say that by a Tor, unlike an Ezov, which had Shem Levi, and the Torah the Torah chose to have a plain Ezov, but Tor, there were no specific Tars, so therefore, it could include even ones with a Shem Levi. So according to the first answer, Shem Levi by a Tor is okay. According to the second answer, it's saying, no, a Tor is just like an Ezov. If it has a Shem Levi, then if it has an accompanying name, then it's not valid. But why were this Tor Tzutzaini was valid is because it wasn't a real Shem Levi, as demonstrated by the fact that in the place itself, they didn't refer to it. They just called it a plain Tor. So therefore, it's not a sufficient Shem Levi to say that it's no good for the for use in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda, Hani Krazi de Bechilfi Sharu. These krazi, which are some kind of a chagavin, Rashi says, like a grasshopper, the bechilfi, that chilfi is like a sedge or rush, or it's like some grass that grows in the marshes, these grasshoppers shari udbe karvi asiri, but the ones that come from that grow up in kruv and cabbage, those are asar. So in other words, there's two different types of chagavim. Ravina says, "Umakinan alai mishum sheretz ha'of." He's saying that when we say that the ones from cabbage are usher, we would give you malchus on that for eating a flying bug. So what is it coming to tell you? It's not like it's some doubtful case of maybe it is maybe we're saying it's usher because it might be a sheretz ha'of. We're saying no. Ravina says it's an absolute sheretz ha'of if it's the cabbage kind of grasshopper, and therefore if someone were to eat it, they would get malchus for being over on a los ha'aseh. Okay, v'am Rav Yehuda tsarda shari barda asir. You have two things with similar sounding names. So tsarda is you're allowed to eat it, and barda you're not allowed to eat it. V'simaneich, and the simon, to remind yourself, we're going to have a series of gemaras like this. Bar mine, except for this one. So bar mine sounds like barda. So, and it's saying bar mine except for this one. So this reminds you, barda is no good. Bar mine. Sarda is good. Okay. Marda safka. So we say, but if it's marda, then it's a suffix. So sarda is good, barda is no good, and marda, we don't know. Okay. Amrebasi shmona svekos saying, there's eight svekos. Chova, huga, suga, vaharnuga, tushalmi, marda, kuchilna, Ubar Navcha. I'm sure I did not get the pronunciation right, but eight of those. So my safikayu, what's the suffix about these eight? We're back to birds. We've left grasshoppers. What's the suffix about them? He says as follows. Ofos tahorim korkavanan niklaf v'tumayin. Ofos tahorim korkavanan niklaf v'tumayin in korkavan niklaf. So he's saying, generally speaking, we know that having a korkovan that can be peeled is a simen tara, and one that cannot be peeled is a simen of tumah. And so if we were looking at whether this, okay, so the way we're understanding this is if it has the other three simane tara, so then if it's korkovan can be peeled, you know for sure it's a tahar bird, versus if it can't be peeled, then it could theoretically be a tame bird. So the question is as follows. We know that a korkovan being able to be peeled as a simen tara, not being able to be peeled as a simen of tumah. He says, but these, vahani korkovanan niklaf besakina. These eight birds, you cannot peel them with your hand, so it doesn't come off easily, but you can peel it with a knife, and it will come off, and it won't pull with it the rest of the korkovan. So the question is that considered a simen of tahara, because ultimately it can be removed with a knife? Or do we say, no, it's a simen tumah, because at the end of the day, you can't remove it by hand. You need to use an implement in order to remove it. So that was, those are a suffix, and therefore they're going to be in the category of suffix, a suffix of a simen tumah. So now the Gemara asks, v'ha ahi baravaza dahave be mar shmuel, d'lo have kam maklev korkavane. So, mar shmuel had a, goose that they couldn't, peel the crop easily, va'osve b'shimsha, and they took the crop and they put it, a korkovan is the gizzard. Va'osve b'shimsha, and they put it in the sun. The kivan the rafi, once it got soft, iklif, they were able to peel it. So you say, So you see that even something that doesn't peel easily, that if you can get it peeled at some level by putting it in the sun and then doing it, it should be good. So the Gemara says, no. Hasam ki rafi iklif biyada. Hacha afagav the rafi lo miklif el besakina. He says, no. I agree with you that by Marshmuel, if you can put it in the sun and then peel it with your hand, that's a simantara. But by these eight, even if you were to put it in the sun, you still need a knife. So the question is, you cannot bring about a circumstance where you can remove it with your hands, you can only remove it with a knife, and therefore it's a suffix whether it is a valid simantara. Amar Abaya, Tarnagolo de Agma Chad Mishmona Sveikasu, that a tarnagol of the swamp is one of the eight things listed as a suffix. Now mind you, we didn't say tarnagol dagma. He says Vahainu Mardu. One of the eight we said was Mardu. He says this Mardu is another word for the tarnagol dagma, the tarnagol of the swamp. Amre Papa Tarnagola dagma asira, that the tarnagola dagma is asir. Tarnagolta dagma is sharia. So that a female version, a tarnagolta of the agma is mutter. So now this is a big discussion in the Rishonim. Does it mean that the male and female versions of these are different? One is kosher and one is not? Or are these two different things? That the tarnagola, the agma, is one species, and tarnagolta, the agma, is another. One is referred to in the masculine, one is referred to in the feminine, but they're really two separate species or subspecies. So most Rishonim seem to see that they're separate. Tosus brings a version that maybe it's just the difference of male and female. There's a very interesting Meshech Chochma, the pasuk by Noach. It says that he brought the bird 7-7 in order lahachias kol zera, right? So, but it doesn't say in the pasuk. And Rashi explains that this was talking about ofos tahoros. So the question they ask is, why didn't the Torah say ofos tahoros? In other words, why didn't he need to say it? And you need the mefarshim to explain it. So the Meshech Chochma says because the point was lahachias kol zera. So you wanted all kosher things to live. But the problem is this particular bird, the male was not kosher, the female was kosher. Right? So if you say you only bring kosher animals, so then you're going to lose the female of this kind of bird. But so therefore they had to bring them all. But then you didn't want to say that they brought all the ofos tahoros because he brought even an of nantar. So the Meshech Chochma says the reason for the language in that pasuk is this particular type of bird. But in any event, the simanek, so what are we saying? We're saying that the male type of this thing is no good and the female type is good. The simanek, and the simen is amoni velo amonis. So if you remember that this was the halacha, we said amoni moavi lo yavo b'kal Hashem, and we saw by Rus that amoni velo amonis, that the amoni can come in, not the amonis. Rashi explains because it says advar shal kidmo eschem belechem umayim, that they didn't bring you the food. Who would bring food? Men. So it was a tain on the men. It wasn't tain on the women. But in any event, what's the point? We're familiar with this halacha of amoni velo amonis. So he's saying that's a good memory tool to tell you that the male sounding tarnagola da'agma is aser. The tarnagol ta, the female da'agma, is mutter, just like an ammonis is mutter and an ammoni is not mutter. Darish meremar, tarnagolta da'agma asira. The tarnagolta of the agam is aser. Why? Because chazua the dars of achla, because they saw that it actually was dores and it ate, vahainu gerusa. And this was, so it showed you that what people thought. So first we said that a tarnagolta, the agma, the female, is a kosher bird, but then we saw that it was dores, and we know that dores is an absolute proof of of tamei. So they said, therefore it's tamei, and they said, really it was a gerusa, which is a different kind of bird that we know is tamei. Says Rashi, that Rashi says that this fact is the reason why if we don't have a masora on a bird, you can't eat the bird. Because what did you see? You see that everyone thought this bird was a kosher bird, and then it turned out that it was dores. So, memela, unless you have a masora on a bird, you can't eat it, because maybe it's, even if we haven't seen it be dores, maybe it's gonna be dores. Okay, Shvar and Darafta Shari, Perud and Darafta Asr. So you have these two similar sounding things. One is Mutter, one is Asr. V'simanech, and the simon is Peruz Rishia. That the one that's called Peiruz and Darfta is the one that's Aser. Now, why is that helpful? Because Rashi explains that Peiruz Rashia, that there was a Shem Adam, Shahaya Muchzik Rasha Beinam. There was a bad guy in Talmudic times named Peiruz. So therefore, it reminds you that Peiruz and Darfta is Aser, whereas Shavar and Darfta is Mutter. Amrev Huna Bunya Shari, Parva Asir. That Bunya is Mutter, a bird, and a Parva is Aser. Vesimanech, Parva Amgusha. So we say that Parva was Parva is like an Amgusha, Parva was a Mechashef, he was a sorcerer, and he was the one who made the Lishkas Beis Parva. Lishkas Beis Parva was where they used to process the hides. And if you remember, the roof of Beis Parva had a mikvah on it. That's what the Kohen Gadol, we talk about it in the Avodah, the Kohen Gadol used to go do his tefillah in by Beis Parva on top of this thing. But in any event, you see that Parva was at least originally, because they said the tshuva, that he was a bad guy. So therefore, it tells you that Parva is the bird that's Aser, while Bunya is the one that's Mutter. Amra Papa, Mardu Zogid Va'achil Shari, that a Mardu that stands up and eats, that's its name, that's Mutter. Zogid Va'achil Aser, that the one that bends down and eats, that Mardu is Aser. V'simanech, what's your simon to remind you that the one that bows down is bad? Lo sishtachav el acher. You shouldn't bow down to a different god. That's bad, bad god. So you see that of this Mardu, the one that bows down is the bad one. Amar Shmuel, shas yachamra asira. The one who drinks wine is Aser, meaning this was a bird called the one who drinks wine. V'simanech, what's your simon? Shesuyayim psulin lavoda. That the one who drinks wine is talking about a coin, is pasul lavoda. So it reminds you that the wine-drinking bird is no good. Vamer Shmuel, Mazga Chamra Asira, the one who pours wine, that's what they call this bird, is Aser. Bas Mazga Chamra Sharia. But the daughter of the one who pours wine is Mutter. Okay, so these, to remember, V'simanech, Yafa Koyecha Ben, we had this recently. This is that the power of the son is greater than the power of the father. Where does this come up? Where a son is Yorish, his father, where the son can collect in certain instances without a shvua, whereas his father could only collect with a shvua. So what do you see? You see the son is stronger than the father. So therefore, it's reminding you that the one who pours wine, that bird is Aser. But the daughter of the one who pours wine, that bird is Mutter, just like a son has more power than the father. Amrav Yehuda, Yehuda says, Shakitna Aricha Shaki Vesumki Sharye. He says, you have this bird, a Shakitna. He says, if it has long legs and it's red, then it's Mutter. Vesimanech Morzuma, which was evidently, Rashi says, a bird that people knew was Tahar, and it also had long legs and red body. Gutzi Vesumki Asiri. But if it has short legs and it's red, then it's Aser. Vesimanech, what's the simon to remind you that a short-legged bird is Aser? Nanos Pasul, because a nanos is a midget. A Kohen is a midget, is not allowed to do the avoda. So you see that the one with short legs is Pasul. Arichi Shaki V'Yeroki Asiri, that if it has long legs and it's Yorok, it's yellow, that's Aser. So V'Simanech, to remember that, Yerukim Psulin. We had this in the Mishnah a little while ago, that it said that if you had a bird that got burnt from the outside and you look inside and it has yellow or green on by the B'nai Ma'ayim, we said that that's Pasul. So this reminds you that Yorok is Pasul, that tells you that this particular bird that is green or yellow is an Aser bird.